Believers Bible Assembly is pleased to welcome you this morning to our teaching series called Searching the Scriptures. It is our prayer that many will tune in to hear this teaching from God's Word, and the Lord will open many hearts to an understanding of His Word and to His wonderful salvation. If you are enjoying and benefiting from this program, then please inform your family and friends to also listen in each week to this broadcast. At the end of the program, I will provide phone numbers for you to contact us so that you may comment or ask questions about what you have heard or if you would like some more information about our church. Now let us begin today's broadcast with some music that will help prepare our hearts for hearing God's Word. If you have a Bible handy, you may want to open and follow along with today's scripture reading. We will be reading from the Gospel of Matthew,
chapter 13. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground, and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said to him, Why do you speak to them in parables? He answered and said to them, Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts, and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it. Therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now, he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, "Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?" He said to them, "An enemy has done this." The servants said to him, "Do you want us then to go and gather them up?" But he said, "No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, 'First gather together the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." Another parable he spoke to them, "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was all leavened." All these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables, and without a parable he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world." Then Jesus sent the multitude away, and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field." He answered and said to them, "He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew to shore. And they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said to them, "Have you understood all these things?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he said to them, "Therefore every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old." Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these parables, that he departed from there. When he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James, Joses, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things?" So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house." Now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he talks. as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Lesson 13, Parables of Jesus. For today's lesson, we are looking at Matthew 13, the Parables of Jesus. Parables are earthly stories with a heavenly meaning. Jesus used simple illustrations and stories from everyday experience to teach people spiritual lessons. It was not so easy to understand what Jesus meant, but those who were nearest to him often would hear Jesus interpret the parables, so they knew its meaning. The parables of Matthew 13 all deal with the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has several different aspects, and it is helpful to make a proper distinction between each of these aspects of the kingdom. The aspects of the kingdom can be described in terms of their timing and specific advents of the king. In the Old Testament period, the future kingdom and the coming king are prophesied. In the gospel dispensation, Christ the King was present and the kingdom was announced. In this period, the kingdom of God was said to be at hand. The next aspect of God's kingdom is the church dispensation, where Christ is acknowledged as king by his followers, and yet the king is absent and the church awaits his return. Following the rapture of the church and the judgment of the nations, the king will return and establish his millennial kingdom on earth, ruling over all nations. Lastly, there is the eternal kingdom of God, which is brought in after the final judgment of Satan and all that have rebelled against God. If we can see these distinct aspects of the kingdom of God when we read our Bible, it will help us to make better sense of its meaning. There are 7 parables in Matthew 13, and for the sake of time, we shall only deal with each one very briefly. The parable of the sower teaches us about how different groups of people respond to hearing the word of God. Many do respond, but their response is not sincere, and they fall away when tested by various pressures. Some do not respond at all, but there are those who hear and accept the word by faith. These are true believers, and we know they are true because their life produces spiritual fruitfulness. The second parable is the parable of the wheat and tares. This describes how Satan comes and adds false believers among the real church. He tries to bring confusion and disharmony and break down what God is building. The false believers live among the true believers, and so the true believer should be aware of this and not be surprised when those who say they are Christians prove they are not really saved. Because wheat and tares look so much alike, it is very difficult to tell them apart. But when the Lord gathers up his people, many false professors will be left behind. The third parable is about the mustard seed, which, though very small, grows into one of the largest plants. This parable speaks about the way genuine faith causes much growth and a drastic change because the change is clearly of God. When someone trusts in the Lord Jesus, often their lives are radically changed as they remove sin from their life, take keen interest to learn the Bible and fellowship with other believers. The change is quite evident to all, and all can see that God has done a great work. The fourth parable has to do with leaven that quickly spreads its effects throughout the dough. This parable seems to be telling us about the nature of sin, which can spread quickly among God's people or in a person's life and affect every area of life. Leaven is frequently used in the Bible as a picture of sin. The fifth parable is about hidden treasure in a field. The man who finds the treasures sells all he has to buy that field to secure the treasure. This speaks of a person who comes to the realization of the great debt of sin he has, and he has discovered the riches of Christ, who alone can pay for his sins, and therefore he abandons all other hopes and places his trust in Jesus alone to save him. he has found his treasure in Christ. The sixth parallel is similar to the last, in that a man sells all that he has to buy for himself a pearl of great price. He sees the value of the pearl and knows it is worth it to sell everything else in order to buy it. We might interpret this as we did the last parable, or else see it as Christ purchasing the church as his precious jewel, having expended all his riches to gain for himself his bride. The last of this series of parables is about a dragnet that brings up all kinds of different fish. The bad are separated from good, just as the righteous will be separated from the unrighteous at the end of the age. God judges and separates between the true believers and those who were just fakes. Jesus spoke in parables, as was prophesied by Isaiah, in order that true believers would learn more about the kingdom, but the proud religious people, the unbelievers, would not hear or understand. God conceals his truth from those who are too proud to listen and learn humbly. If you want to receive God's salvation, then you must seek after it with all your heart and humble yourself before God. Then he is able to teach you and give you understanding of the gospel message. Make sure your heart is not hard like the proud religious Pharisees, and that you can hear God when he speaks. Jesus said, "He who has ears, let him hear." Matthew chapter 13, verse 9. And now for today's Bible question. Today we've been learning about how Jesus taught in parables earthly stories with a heavenly meaning. Someone might ask the question, why does God hide his truth from some people? The parables of Jesus were actually designed to conceal the truth from some people. But why would he hide the truth from certain people? Well, it is not that God wants to intentionally keep some people away from his kingdom. Some men are proud and resist the truth, so God justly rewards them with the consequence of fighting against the truth, and that is to have the truth hidden. God is very compassionate and merciful, and wants to awaken all men to their need of salvation. Even though this is the case, some men are simply too proud to appreciate and seek after God's truth. God's revelation is a wonderful thing to have given to us. God, in his mercy, sends forth messengers and his written word to help man understand and respond to the gospel. God has no obligation to those who rebel against him. It is a privilege to hear God speak, and God rewards those whose hearts yearn to know God and to be reconciled to him. In the story of Abraham and Lot in Genesis 18 and 19, we find that God chose to speak to Abraham about his coming judgment on the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. He said he would not hide his plans from Abraham because he counted Abraham as a faithful believer and one who sought God's honor. Abraham, having learned of God's coming judgment, was able to speak to God about it and even appeal for mercy to spare the cities for the sake of the righteous persons who lived there. One of the greatest things that can happen to us is to hear God speak through his word to our hearts. God does this and wants to do it for everyone. However, many are not able to hear God speak because of their stubborn and proud hearts. They love their sin and are exalted in their own opinions and are not able to listen and learn from God. Jesus actually thanked his Father in heaven for revealing his truth to babes, that is, those who are not lifted up with pride through their knowledge. This was good in God's sight. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent, and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. God is able to save the humble sinner and pass by the self-righteous and proud, and in this he shows that he is a righteous judge. If you want to be sure to hear God, then you must be willing to come to him like a humble child, needy and contrite, waiting upon his mercy and goodness. The Bible says he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So if you really want to know God and to be sure of a place in heaven, then you can, if you are sincere and diligent, to seek for him in his word. May God grant us all ears to hear. Just before we conclude today's broadcast, we want our listeners to be aware of our Emmaus Bible courses that we are making available. These courses are from Emmaus Bible College in the USA. There are 12 courses in the first series and also 12 in the second series. These courses begin with the basic teachings of Christianity and move on to more advanced doctrinal studies in subjects such as biblical marriage, the New Testament Church, and evangelism. If you should be interested in becoming a student of these courses, or feel that you could use these materials to help others grow in their Christian walk, then please feel free to contact us and we will provide the information needed to get you started. You may phone Shadrach in Kumasi at 024-442-1948, or if you have access to the internet, please visit our website at www.bibleassemblychurch.com, where you will find details about the Emmaus courses and a student registration form that you can download and use to register as an Emmaus student. Jesus saw me when a stranger wandering If you want to become a true born-again Christian, here is what you must do. 1. Admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 2. Realize that God hates your sin and must judge it. Romans 6:23 says, The wages of sin is death. And this means eternal separation from God. 3. Realize that God loves you and does not want you to perish. John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 4. Realize that Jesus paid your debt of sin for you. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." 5. Accept God's free gift of eternal life by faith. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name." And also in Romans chapter 10 verse 9 it says, "That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." And number 6, also be assured that your salvation is through Christ alone and not your works. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 say, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." If you would like to receive God's free gift of eternal life right now, you may by a simple prayer made to God in faith. You could pray like this: "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and that I deserve God's judgment. I do not want to have to face that judgment, but I want to be saved and go to heaven. So please forgive me of my sins and come into my life now to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins, and I thank you for the free gift of eternal life." If you have prayed this and believed with all your heart in Jesus as your Savior, then the Word of God assures you that you have been saved. It is not based on how you feel, but on your trust in the Lord Jesus.
Take and seal it for thy courts above.
Thank you for listening to today's lesson. If you have any questions or comments for us, or you would like more information about God's way of salvation, or about our church, then please contact us. You may call Daniel at 024-325-1081, or if you prefer to speak Chi, then you may call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. Again, those numbers are Daniel at 024-325-1081, or for Chi, call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. The Believer's Bible Assembly is a non-denominational church believing and practicing the teachings of the New Testament. Please tune in to this broadcast each Sunday morning at this time. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.
Sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontide and the dewing, waiting for the harvest and the time of reaping, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves.